this episode.
Look, right, efficiency is not just cost cutting. And I said, I've learned that the hard way. And then they just package it up and send it out to the market.
And it's completely clear to us, but to the listener, those things are by definition abstract. Really, you know, like it gets a 10x because it's got that
good layer of disgust in there.
Good layer of disgust. Thinly disguised as mold.
That's it. They're storytellers and then they don't tell many stories, so don't fall into that trap. It's so easy. Make a point, give an example. That's all you need to do. Welcome to Anecdotally Speaking, a podcast to help you build your business story repertoire. Hi, everybody. I'm Sean Callahan.
And hey, everybody. I'm Mark Shank. And Sean, it's your turn in the chair. Have you got a story?
I do. I have a story, and it's a story I actually heard on the, we were talking on our last episode of traveling to Kenya, and I heard this story there, and I just thought it was a nice, simple story with a clear business point, right? And so the context for this is that the CEO for this company was on the stage, and he was talking about the importance of efficiency, you know, improving efficiency for this business, big agricultural business. And he said, look, I don't mean cost cutting, right? Efficiency is not just cost cutting. And I said, I've learned that the hard way. He said he was in a previous company. He was the CEO of a related in the same sort of portfolio of businesses this company owns or is part of. And he said, I was in the noodle business and I was banging on about, you know, saving money, cost cutting and cost savings. And one day he heard, got back to him that his, one of his factories had a batch of noodles that wasn't processed correctly. And it actually developed a layer of mold on the top of the noodles. And, you know, the workers heard the message around cost cutting and cost saving. And so they went about, spent quite some time scraping the mold off the noodles. And then they just packaged it up and sent it out to the market. And when he heard this story, his head just, you know, sort of dropped, you know, between his hand, holding his head in his hands. And he was just thinking, you know, what have I done? What have I done? And of course, he had to reset people's understanding of what he was trying to get to. And that's why he talks about efficiency now and not cost cutting, because it doesn't get into the end point. People forget about quality when you do that. Anyway, I think everyone walked out that room with a very clear understanding of the difference between saving money and efficiency. I think that was a message they weren't going to forget.
Yeah, and that's a great example of how we use language that makes total sense to us. Like we need to cut costs. We need to be more efficient.
Yep.
And it's completely clear to us, but to the listener, that those things are by definition abstract and people have to interpret them. Yeah. And so giving that instruction, the visuals of people, of workers scraping mold off. I'm picturing this big vat of noodles and then scraping it off and, you know, scraping it
slopping
into buckets.
It somewhere.
But by adding that example, he makes it absolutely concrete. That's one of the brilliant uses of story, is it brings these things to life. And so people are in no doubt about what you mean.
There was some really interesting research that showed, that was looking at which stories are most likely to be retold. And, you know, and they're matching it up to different emotions. Well, the emotion that was most likely associated with a story being retold is the emotion of disgust, right? And it's partly because, you know, from an evolutionary point of view, disgust is there for a real good reason. That is, you know, if disgust comes from, you know, usually seeing, you know, open wounds or things which are going to make you sick,
And staying away from them.
And you know it's good to tell other people, stay away from the vomit or whatever. You know, like these are these disgusting feelings we have, which are there to protect us, right? So, you know, I don't think this particular CEO was trying to go for that, but it has it in built into that story, right? It has disgust built in. So it's going to be a story that people remember. Right?
Yeah, so absolutely. It's a good story, but really, you know, like it gets a 10X because it's got that
good layer of disgust in there.
Good layer of disgust. Thinly disguised as mold.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, one of the things I like about this story is it's quite a short little story, right? It doesn't take much to tell it. And I chose to tell it in the sense of retelling what I saw the CEO do, right? So it's kind of like from the perspective of me telling a story about a CEO telling a story, which, you know, it's just a choice I made in telling. I thought it would give it a little bit better context rather than just telling it out, you know, as a single story. Anyway, that's just a couple of thoughts I had.
For me, that's a useful addition because it also gives it illustrates that effective executives, CEOs, use this thing called story to be understood and to actually create change in their organization. So I think it's a really valuable part of that story.
Yes. Yeah. This CEO is quite good with stories, actually. Told a number of cracking stories along the way. So what for you, what bits, there's probably not a lot to pull out on this story, but what did you like in this story?
I thought it was short, clear. And of course the scraping the mold off, right? You also, now the people who are listening to this podcast didn't see Sean actually put his head into his hands. I'm looking at him across the computer screen. And so I saw you put your head in your hands and that had an impact as well. So not that I think you should perform stories, but small gestures like that can amplify the emotion.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I was kind of just channeling what I saw on the day. So that's a good point. And I do wonder, you know, like if you relive the story, right? Just naturally, not trying to perform it, but just, you know, what just comes to mind. I wonder how that affects what people hear as well. Like if they don't even see you doing it, do they hear something different? Is it an element of sort of a visceral element to it because the person is reliving the experience? I'm pretty sure there is actually. So that's probably something to think about. I just like to, if I was to tell it again, and I just wonder if I'm trying to picture this sort of, factory level amount of noodles. Now, he never really made a point about how big this was, but I think that could be actually a really interesting, I'd love to know.
So is it the size of a football field?
You know, are we talking about that, or is it a size of a, you know, hot plate or something? Like, I don't know, but this is factory level production of noodles. I mean, this wouldn't be a small thing.
Yeah.
A good question to ask him.
And so just a little word of, a cautionary word for the audience is if you don't know the details, it's not a risk. It's best not to just say, oh, it was the size of a football field. Right. If you don't know, either don't say or ask. Ask the person. Yeah, how big was it? Mm. Now, in my mind, I had a picture of like quite a sizable domestic water tank with a big spinning, a mixing arm in the middle.
Right, right.
Maybe 5 or 6 meters across. That's what I had in my mind.
Yeah, okay. That seems commercial enough, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, commercial noodles. But you're right. It could have been 10 times that size. Yeah, but anyway.
Question for the CEO. That sounds good.
But it's a risk. You know, ethical use of story demands that you not make stuff up like that.
In fact, I get asked that question all the time. I was doing a a keynote up in Queensland last week, and yeah, one of the leaders came up to me and said, "Is it okay if we make parts up, you know, or make it?" I said, "Look, my advice is don't do that, because whenever you're telling a story in an organization, the people in the organization are testing your story, right? They're testing for, well, plausibility on one level, but they also want to know, is it credible? Did it actually happen?" And as soon as they get a whiff of parts of it didn't happen, they start then impugning your character, essentially. So, avoid that.
All you need, you know, if that CEO had said it was the size of a football field, is for somebody in the audience to go, "Oh, you used to work in the noodle factory." There's no way that there's ever been a football field sized
noodle factory.
And then the whole thing starts to collapse.
Yeah.
Starts to unravel. So it's just best not to. Now, there's nothing wrong with zooming in on particular details that are important to making the point that you're trying to make at the time. You know, that's fine, but don't make it up. Zoom in and describe in detail, you know, the thing, if you've got that.
What do you think would make that story better? Is there anything that you can think of that would enhance it?
Oh, well, I guess I want to know what happened. Like, was there, you know, it's sent out to the market. Did people get sick as a result, or did he dodge a bullet? And, you know,
I don't think anyone noticed,
right?
You know, apart from the reporting and him going, "That's not what I want our business to do," right?
Yep.
So, you know, the people in the factory knew what they were doing was safe, right? But it's not something they wanted to do, or even let them, you know, imagine if the market understood that's what they were doing, right? It was that level.
Right. I often, in terms of how could it be even better, what do I want to know? What questions do I have? And that's kind of the one, main one that was in my mind is
what happened?
What happened?
Yeah, it's a good question.
All right, shall we give it a score?
I suppose the business point is clear, wasn't it? Business point on making sure you're clear on what you're asking for.
Yeah, I mean, you could also use it, as I mentioned earlier, as an example. The business point could be, so this is what leaders do.
Yeah.
They help people understand exactly what it is that they mean.
Yeah.
So that could be another business point.
Mm. Okay. Okay, give me a score, Mark. What do you reckon?
Oh, I'm gonna give it a 7.5.
Yeah. For me it's a solid story. I've told it numerous times already, so I have to give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay, that's a good story.
Yeah. Fantastic. Right. Well, I think that sort of wraps us up for the episode. A quick, sharp episode, I think, Mark. So I guess we just get out there and find more stories to tell. One of the things that, you know, I'm still hearing people who are telling me they're storytellers and then they don't tell me any stories. So don't fall into that trap. So easy. Make a point, give an example. Make a point, give an example. That's all you need to do.
Yeah. And I guess just to reiterate something I did in a LinkedIn video not long ago is that one of the workshop participant, as we're going through the post-workshop support period, we're actually with the participants for 12 weeks after the program, helping them adopt these new behaviors. One of them said, "You know what? It all twigged for me when I understood that when you say story, you're just talking about an event."
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's just something that happened.
Yeah.
And so as you indicated, there's so many people who talk about storytelling, but there's not a single event in sight. There's a heck of a lot of opinions and lots and lots of statements, but no events.
Yeah. Yeah. Get those events happening. Well, guys, thanks again for listening into Anecdotally Speaking. And of course, tune in next week for another episode on how to put your stories to work. Bye for now.
Anecdotally Speaking was engineered by Dave Stokes from author to audio.